Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of KX's Wrestling Podcast. Today, I will be discussing WWE SummerSlam 2019. And by the way, this is the August 23rd, 2019 edition. The comeback, pretty much where I'm going to have an organized structure and talk about the show. Let's get right into it. Let's discuss, let me see, all right, match number one for SummerSlam was Becky Lynch versus Natalya. It was a brawly kind of a start to the match. The match was honestly kind of boring. Becky Lynch, you know, at some point in the match, she ripped off the sharpshooter, and Natalya rips off to disarm her. You know, Becky Lynch locks in the disarmer, wins the match by submission. The crowd was still heavily behind Becky Lynch even after the match, which was honestly kind of strange because, you know, they were in Canada for this SummerSlam, and Canada didn't seem to like Natalya very much, which is very unexpected and unusual, to say the very least. I don't know, maybe that's just how big of a following that Becky Lynch has, like, you know, to the point to where, like, no matter who you are or where you're from or where you're at, you know, the crowd is still going to cheer for Becky Lynch no matter what, which is honestly kind of ridiculous, because as good as a talent as Becky Lynch is, she's not good enough to where she should be getting that kind of crowd pop. Honestly, she is not the best wrestler that they have, not by a long shot. Honestly, I can think of many other better wrestlers, female wrestlers, you know, that's just better in the ring. Some are better on the microphone. You know, it just varies. But then again, let's not get too far off the subject here, because we got to keep this show moving. All right, so then we move along to the backstage segment, which is an interview with Trish Stratus. She clearly still has fake blonde hair, because it's not blonde in the roots. Clearly fake tits, tons of makeup. Looks like she also has hair extensions. You know, that's also a possibility. I don't know. I'm not busting on Trish. I'm not hating on Trish. It's just, you know, that's what I saw. You know, and her promo was lame, by the way, because honestly, she was never that damn good on the microphone, and she was never that damn good in the ring. Same with Lita, you know, and this is the thing. This is another issue that I have with the women's division, is that so many fans will sit there and say, well, Trish and Lita were the best women's wrestlers that WWE ever had. Bullshit. You know, that is horseshit. They were never the best. They never will be the best. It's just they were seen as the best for the time that they were out, because, you know, no other female wrestlers were actually wrestling in a match that really involved wrestling back then. You know, it was all about bras and panties and tits and ass, pretty much, you know, to sum it all up. You know, but, I mean, they were a few of the ones who were wrestling, but then again, nobody ever mentions the other females who were wrestling during that time who were better than them. And oh, you want to know who? You want to know who was better than Trish and Lita? Because I know, you know, they're going to want to say that. This is going to be the argument. Oh, well, who else was wrestling like they were at the time? The rest of them were just taking off their clothes. Yeah, well, how about Jacqueline? You know, Jacqueline was a wrestler. You know, she got in there and she wrestled. She did moves. She wasn't that good, you know, on the microphone either, but she could give a decent match. She had moves. She could wrestle. She wasn't all about eye candy, you know. And another wrestler at the time who was better than Trish and Lita, Ivory. Ivory was an outstanding wrestler. She was a great wrestler. I mean, go back and look at her matches. She's often forgotten, clearly, because nobody ever really talks about her anymore. She was a great wrestler, you know. Who else was a great wrestler during that time? Molly Holly. Very, very underrated talent. You know, she even had a little gimmick going for a while when she was rolling around with Crash Holly and all that. You know what I'm saying? But she was one of the underrated talents of the time, you know. And I don't know. I guess during that time, for some reason, Trish and Lita got the bigger push because, I don't know, I guess because they were more popular with the male audience, because the guys found them to be the most attractive or whatever. I mean, honestly, it shouldn't have been judged from that scale, from that point at all, you know, because that's really just a biased perspective of who should be pushed to the top, who should be getting the title shots and the recognition, you know. But thankfully, today's female wrestling isn't like that in WWE. Thankfully, the structure is different. It has changed. It's not all about tits and ass anymore. It's about, you know, your talent, what you can do in that fucking ring, because that's what it should amount to at the end of the day. That's what the hell should really matter at the end of the day. So anyway, not to get too off topic here, let's keep it moving. The SummerSlam show. This is what we're talking about. All right, match number two. Ziggler versus Goldberg, who I call Oldberg, by the way, because he is old as fuck. And I never really liked him. I never liked him when he first showed up in WCW. I never liked him back then. I never liked him when he came to WWF at the time. I think it was WWF at that time. It was like 2003. No, that's shortly after they became WWE, because they switched over to WWE in like mid-2000 or 2002 or so. And yeah, I didn't really like him at all. No point in wrestling history did I ever like Goldberg, and I never will. And here's why, because he's just the king of squash matches. He was never really a wrestler. You know what I'm saying? He was just the big muscled up guy to come in there and kick somebody's ass in 2 minutes. You know, we've already seen that kind of guy before. We've seen the Ultimate Warrior. He was that kind of guy. Get in the ring, kick somebody's ass for about 2 or 3 minutes and end it. You know, it's like, come on. I mean, but at least Ultimate Warrior had a really good, insane type character who could cut an insane promo and just go nuts and just really make you think that this guy was really nuts and just really off the, you know, from another planet almost, you know? Like, Ultimate Warrior had a believable character. That's the one thing I can give him. Ultimate Warrior was never a great wrestler. Don't get this wrong. Don't get this confused. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Ultimate Warrior was never a great wrestler, but he was a great fucking character. So, with that said, fuck Goldberg, because Goldberg doesn't even have a character. He can't even cut a promo. You know, he just comes to the ring with a bunch of cops and just comes up there smacking himself in the head till he splits himself open, as usual these days, you know, and just gives a shitty match, you know? But anyway, you know, like where does... all right, so the feud started from, like, an episode of Raw where Dolph Ziggler was pretty much tricked into signing a contract to go against Goldberg, you know, at SummerSlam on an episode of Miz TV, by the way. So as the SummerSlam show continued on, Dolph Ziggler had the first entrance. I mean, strangely enough, not surprisingly enough, Goldberg has to get the second entrance, which is like a championship entrance. That's what they do for champions most of the time. The champion gets to come out second, you know, the last guy to show up in the match because he has the belt. But Goldberg didn't even have a fucking belt, and he got the championship entrance. For what? You know? And on top of that, he's stealing an opportunity from a younger wrestler, because that could be a younger wrestler that could have went in there against Dolph Ziggler and had a fucking way better match. You know what I'm saying? But no, this old fuck comes in, you know, and just steals the spotlight once again. And Vince McMahon allows it, because for some stupid fucking reason, Vince McMahon thinks that guys like Goldberg and Lesnar are a big fucking draw. Nobody wants to see these old motherfuckers that's way past their prime fucking wrestle, especially after the fucked up bullshit match that Goldberg had against The Undertaker at, what the fuck was even the name of that show? The Saudi Arabian show? Was it the Super Showdown or whatever the fuck? Like, that match was trash, and everybody fucking knows it, because it was a botch fest from two fucking guys that are too fucking old that need to just hang it up. They need to call it quits. But in the process, I'm saying at least one thing I can give Undertaker credit for is that, you know, he at least put over Roman Reigns. You know, he put over a younger wrestler. Goldberg, who the fuck did he put over? Nobody, because he don't give a shit about the business. He don't contribute a fucking thing to the business, much like Brock Lesnar. So fuck Lesnar too, by the way, before I even get to him. Just for a quick, you know, Goldberg was just there for another damn quick paycheck, literally. That's the only fucking reason why he was there. You know, he didn't put over nobody and to do shit for the business, like I just said, pretty much, you know. And the crowd is still cheering for this fucker like it's 1999. Like, what the fuck? He's a 52-year-old fucking prick, you know, shitting on the fucking wrestling business like he usually does. And I'm glad Steve Regal kicked his fucking ass in WCW. I mean, he kicked the shit out of him. Especially my favorite part, when Steve Regal potatoed him, or whatever you want to call it, hooked him, or the other term, basically just tagging him for fucking real. I'm glad Steve Regal kicked the shit out of him. Like that point when Goldberg was down on the mat and Steve Regal just started kicking the shit out of him. I mean, kicking him in the back and everything. That was my favorite part, when Steve Regal just went raw in his ass and just kicked the fuck out of him. I enjoyed it. It was a pleasure to see that, you know, because he deserved it. And I wish somebody would do that to him these days and just kick the fuck out of him for real, because he fucking deserves it for fucking shitting on the wrestling business. Anyway, he squashes Ziggler in about 2 minutes, and, like, he just destroyed him after the match, like, twice, two fucking spears or whatever the fuck, you know, and it's like, come on, it's like, he didn't even try to make the match look good, you know, and I guess, like, pretty much, all right, I had a shitty match against Undertaker, so I'm gonna come back at SummerSlam and just squash some fucking new guy that nobody gives a fuck about anymore, because unfortunately, Dolph Ziggler, there was a time where he could have been the fucking man, you know what I'm saying? But right now, it's like, you know, everybody already understands that that ship has sailed a long fucking time ago, and it's never going to happen. He's never going to get that big fucking push. He's never going to be WWE champion ever again. You know what I'm saying? He's just going to be that fucking mid-card, lower mid-card jobber guy that just jobs out and loses to every fucking body that they can possibly have him fucking lose against. Doesn't matter if it's a big name or small name or just a complete fucking jerk off or some fucking nobody from NXT or some shit. You know, they don't care. They don't give a damn. And it's very clear. But at the same time, Dolph Ziggler is currently under a $1 million contract. So who the fuck's going to turn down $1 million a year? I know damn well I wouldn't. I mean, if Vince McMahon came to me and said, shit, I'll pay you $1 million a year to be the biggest fucking jobber I've ever seen, son, and I'd pay you $1 million, and yeah, you can lose to any fucking jerk off that I put in front of you, and that's all you got to do. You know, I would accept that. Fucking A, I would. I would totally accept that. Yeah, give me $1 million. I'll get pinned fucking 3 times in one fucking night if you want me to. I don't give a shit. Fuck you, pay me. How about that? I mean, but at the same time, what does that do for the wrestling business? I mean, yeah, it kind of fucks up the business. It fucks up the credibility because Ziggler is just being thrown away, wasted. It's like, why is he even there most of the time? But it's clearly to fucking lose. You know what I'm saying? He's getting paid to fucking lose. And if Vince McMahon is willing to waste that kind of money, fuck it. Why not? You know, he's got money to fucking burn. And it's very, very obvious. He just doesn't give a fuck anymore. That's just very clear. But anyway, moving along here. The match after this, the next match was match number 3 for the pay-per-view, SummerSlam 2019. We had AJ Styles versus Ricochet for the U.S. title. And AJ Styles coming in as the champion this time. All right, so right off the top, I noticed like a small shot that WWE took at AEW because they're starting to do that shit more frequently now. And they also did it on the NXT TakeOver show, which happened the night before. And I can't remember which fucking wrestler did it. It might have been Adam Cole. I think he did like the V trigger or some other move like that Kenny Omega does, and something else, man. They're taking shots, man. WWE is taking silent shots at AEW's product, and it's very clear because they're very aware that there's a new show in town that's getting a lot of hype and a lot of talk, you know, and they're preparing it. They're preparing themselves for this shit. You know, they're watching. They are definitely watching. WWE pretends like, oh, we don't watch no other wrestling shows. The fuck they don't. They, especially when somebody's coming up like AEW, they're going to watch. They want to see how far this is going to go and what can they do to prepare themselves to deal with a potential competition here. Because AEW's TV deal is coming pretty soon. It's coming, early October, October 2nd or some shit. You know, so that's not too far away from now. You know, we literally have a little more than a month to go before AEW is on TV. And it's going to be really exciting to see what kind of ratings they can draw, the viewership they can draw, you know. But anyway, not to get too far off the subject. I was talking about AJ Styles and Ricochet match number 3 for SummerSlam for the U.S. title. All right. So AJ Styles and Gallows and Anderson all come out with the OC shirts, the only club that matters, or the original club. Once again, this is horse shit because AJ Styles did not originate the Bullet Club, neither did Gallows or Anderson. They were just parts of the club at certain points in time, you know. And on top of that, all right, so the match starts off high-paced, flippy offense by Ricochet. AJ Styles gets brawly, starts working the legs on the mat to keep Ricochet down and grounded. All right, so the match, you know, it stayed moving, but it got boring. You know, it wasn't as good as their televised matches is basically what I'm saying. And you know, the finish of the match was the greatest fucking part, by the way. Let me see what happened there. AJ Styles, he reversed a corkscrew Hurricane Rana into the Styles Clash for the win, which was pretty fucking awesome when you see it. It's a lot more exciting, you know, to see it than listen to me try to explain it. I mean, it was nice to see. It was great shit. Let me see. Ricochet, he tried to get up after the match. AJ Styles got his foot soldiers on him pretty much, and they got they busted the magic killer on Ricochet, basically fucked him up again. I don't know. What the fuck? I mean, AJ Styles clearly won the fucking match. It wasn't a horrible match, but their TV additions were a lot fucking better. me see. Oh, yeah. This is another little funny point that I wanted to bring up. They can call Gallows and Anderson's finishing move the Magic Killer, right? But why can't they call AJ Styles' submission finish the Calf Killer, like they used to call it in TNA? You know? It's like, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? Like, why did they undo it? Undo the name when AJ Styles came over to WWE? But, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I guess the name Killer is something that they try to steer away from, but they still called it, you know, Anderson and Gallows finished the Magic Killer. You know, so you're still killing something, you know, and it still has kill in the name. So what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Somebody please explain that. All right, so then we had a slight backstage segment. Street Profits goofing off as usual. They met up with Ric Flair, and they're basically just another stereotype for black wrestlers, you know, same old shit. You know, because Vince McMahon loves that kind of shit, and, you know, and if you're not going to be that kind of wrestler as a black wrestler, you're not going to get a push. Simple as that. That's why Ember Moon, for example, isn't getting such a big push, and, you know, wrestlers like her and Apollo Crews and Bobby Lashley, you know what I'm saying? He's not doing jack shit with either one of the three of them because they're not playing the stereotypical fucking roles of being rappers or dancers or singers or booty shakers or you know what I'm saying, something just ghetto-fied stereotype bullshit, you know what I'm saying? And that's the reason why those three are not getting pushed, plain and simple. All right, match number four, the women's SmackDown women's title match was Bayley coming in as the champion versus Ember Moon. All right, it was a nice start. It was technical. There were some good moves, but the match did not really tell a story, you know. And this is what's missing from a lot of modern day WWE matches. Is they don't tell a fucking story. They just, you know, it's a bunch of people doing moves or just kicking and stomping somebody for a whole match and getting a three count. There's no story to it. It doesn't tell a story during the match. It doesn't tell you why, you know, this person wants to beat up this person or this person needs to beat this person. It doesn't tell you shit. You know, I mean, Ember Moon, you know, at a certain point when Bayley was trying to set her up for the Tree of Woe, Ember Moon had to set her own foot under the rope, you know, so she could stay in place, because for some fucking reason Bayley didn't. She didn't set Ember's foot there to make sure that she stayed, you know. So that was Bayley's fuck up, and you know what I'm saying, in my eyes, the way I saw it. Anyway, long story short, Bayley won the fucking match with a belly to belly from the second rope, but they call it from the top rope. I mean, I guess technically you could say it was from the top rope because that's where Ember fell from, or she got tossed from. But Bayley herself was on the second rope. It was executed from the second rope. So I call it a second rope Bayley to Belly. I mean, either way, it don't really fucking matter. It's not that big of a point. It's not that big of an argument. You know, call it whatever you want. It's still pretty accurate as a description. All right, so moving along. Owens versus Shane McMahon. How many times have we seen this shit? You know, we even saw it at, like, WrestleMania at a certain point when it was a Hell in a Cell. You know, It's like, why is this feud still going on? And Elias was a special guest referee. It was fucking stupid. I had no interest in this match at all. You know, it's a repeat match that I'm just tired of seeing, basically. And it's like, when did Vince McMahon forgive Kevin Owens for the brutal attack that he did on Vince about a year or two ago? When Owens came out and headbutted Vince and, you know, splashed him from the top rope and all that shit. Like, when did Vince ever forgive him? Because earlier this year, when Kofi Kingston was going for the WWE title, you know, Vince McMahon pretty much screwed him out of the title shot, screwed Kingston out of the title shot that he earned, and said that he decided to give it to Kevin Owens. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, since when did Vince become friends with Kevin Owens? When did their whole beef get squashed? You know, tell me that. You know, because that makes no fucking sense. No sense at all. They were supposed to be bitter enemies. They never said how the whole thing between them ended and how Vince McMahon becomes a Kevin Owens supporter out of the fucking blue. Makes no fucking sense, you know? It's clear that they don't put any fucking thought into these stories or, you know, these little bullshit storylines that they try to create. You know, it's like they just literally pull this shit out of their ass and just expect people not to notice, you know, saying that the shit doesn't make sense, you know? Anyway, Shane McMahon steals a spot from another wrestler who could have used that spot. You know, why the fuck is Shane McMahon still having matches? You know what I'm saying? That's another thing I'm just getting sick and tired of. It's like, what reason did Shane come back? Like, did he come back to, like, his role is supposed to be general manager of SmackDown, but he's doing everything. He's being a general manager and everything else. He's being the wrestler, the guest referee, the guest commentator. You know what I'm saying? Like, goddamn. I mean, like, what is he not doing at the moment? You know what I'm saying? Why does he have to, if he's going to be a general manager, why does he get every other fucking role in the company as well? Like, that's fucking stupid. It doesn't make sense. You know, I mean, why don't they just call him the multitasker? You know, that would make a lot more fucking sense, because that's what he's doing. He's doing multiple fucking tasks. He's doing a lot more than being a general manager. He's getting involved in, he's a manager, a wrestler, a general fucking manager, a fucking commentator, a referee. You know, like, what fucking role does he not play? It's like, what's he gonna be, like, a production crew guy next? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's he gonna be, the fucking limo driver for Vince McMahon? Like, shit, like, what does he not do? He's doing too much, is what I'm saying. And one thing he needs to do a lot less of is get involved in fucking matches and storylines, because the shit's old, you know? Like, hopefully I'm not the only one who's tired of Shane McMahon popping up in matches all the time, because it's fucking old and it's ridiculous, and Shane is about 50 fucking years old, and it's like, come on, you're stealing a spot from a younger wrestler who could have that spot and could be getting somewhere in the business and getting things done and possibly working their way to getting over, you know? But unfortunately, Shane McMahon's willing to fuck somebody over, as usual. So, basically, this match was fucking stupid. I skipped through it. Honestly, I did not sit through that shit because I had no fucking interest in it. But basically, the match ended with Kevin Owens kicking Shane McMahon in the nuts and beating him with a Stone Cold fucking stunner, which is really stupid. I hate the idea that Owens is using the Stone Cold fucking stunner to wrap up a match, because why should he have the ability to put somebody away with the Stone Cold stunner when no fucking body else but Stone Cold is able to do that? That's so fucking stupid. You know, and it's like, you know, what happened to the pop-up powerbomb? Why is he not doing that no more? You know? Why the hell is why isn't he doing the pop-up powerbomb no more? That move, that's a solid finish. A powerbomb, even to this day, is a solid finish. You know? Anyway, match number 6 was Charlotte versus Trish. I'm still wondering, where the fuck did this match come from? Where did they come up with the idea of this shit? Was it just simply because, oh, we're going to be in Canada, let's call up Trish Stratus and ask her to do a match? You know, where did they come up with this shit? You know, it's like, Charlotte makes her entrance. I mean, they didn't even have a fucking video package for this match. Let me throw that out there, too. No fucking video package before they got to the entrances and shit. There was no video package, no story, no fucking reason why the match was happening. So it's ridiculous. All right, Charlotte made her entrance after they ran a Roman Reigns, Eric Rowan, and Daniel Bryan segment that included Buddy Murphy, some little weird thing that they're doing between those four. You know, they ran that, and then all of a sudden Charlotte's making her way to the ring. It's like, what the fuck is that? How is that supposed to make sense? Who decided that was the appropriate time to run that video package for, like, Roman Reigns and Buddy Murphy and Daniel Bryan and Eric fucking Rowan? That didn't make no sense. Anyway, what had happened in this match with Trish and Charlotte? Fucking, basically, Charlotte won. It was fucking obvious she was going to win. And it's simple, because the match was pretty good. I'm not shitting on the match. The match was actually pretty fucking good. But, you know, it's just very clear that Charlotte was going to win simply because she is the superior wrestler. She's the superior athlete. You know, she's much younger than Trish. You know, and she, you know, she's a hell of a lot better of a wrestler than Trish ever fucking was. Trish was never a great fucking wrestler. You know, she knew how to call spots. She knew how to pull off spots, but she was not a great wrestler. You know, she had moments of when she could do some cool shit. Okay, I'll give her that. But so did Lita. But Lita wasn't the greatest fucking wrestler either. In fact, Lita botched a lot. Trish botched quite a bit. You know? These are things you gotta look at. I mean, I get it. I mean, every wrestler's gonna botch every once in a blue fucking moon. But, you know, when you do it so often to where it's clearly noticeable, it's like, you know, that's a problem. Anyway, this wasn't even the main event here, but this next match, fucking Kofi Kingston versus Randy Orton. Boring as fuck. Another match I didn't really give a shit about. You know what I'm saying? It's like a piss break, make something to eat type match. You know, I didn't give a shit about the match. It's for the WWE title, Kingston as the champion. And, you know, basically, I guess one thing that I can say that's going to be consistent with what a lot of other people are saying is that Kofi Kingston is not a fucking draw. You know, and I don't know. I mean, New Day as a group, sure, they're a fucking draw. Kofi Kingston is a draw. A lot of people wanted to see him win the title. He got the belt, yada, yada, yada. But it's like, you know, that's all well and good. You know, the very first black WWE champion ever, and The Rock does not fucking count, by the way, so don't give me that bullshit, because The Rock is mixed. His mother is Samoan and his father was black. So when you're from two different fucking ethnic backgrounds, you are not fucking one ethnicity. You are two. So get that shit straight, people. And that one drop rule, don't give me that fucking crap either, because that's nonsense. This old crap that's been made irrelevant ever since the 1950s or 60s or so. Anyway, moving along. Like I said, I didn't give a shit about the Orton and Kingston match, and the ending was stupid as fuck too, because this is how the match ended. You had Kingston and Orton on the outside of the ring. Orton just starts taunting Kofi's kids and wife and shit out in the front row. And, you know, it just got to a point where it just turned into a big brawl and both guys were counted the fuck out. What the fuck kind of WWE title match ends that way? You know, especially the biggest title of the fucking show. Is, you know what I'm saying? Like, the biggest title, the most important fucking title of the show. And this is how you end the fucking match. Like, that was just fucking ridiculous. And it was even to the point where the crowd was saying, bullshit, bullshit. Like, they should. I'm surprised people weren't walking the fuck out at that point, because that's how fucking stupid the ending to that match was. But, and this brings me to, alright, well, I don't know. I guess the one thing that I could say that was actually good about the fucking Kingston and Orton match is that it did tell a fucking story. It told a story of deep-seated fucking hatred and anger and frustration and just, you know, just years of built-up, pent-up anger and rivalry status. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta say that from that aspect, it did make sense. But the way that the match ended was complete fucking horrible, greasy, steaming fucking horse shit. It was garbage. But, alright, let's move along. So, match number 8. And I can't believe this fucking match was so high up on the card, by the way. And hopefully Vince's motivation for deciding that this match would be so high on the card, hopefully it wasn't for fucking Finn Balor, because Finn Balor is one of the most overrated motherfuckers on the roster, plain and simple. I don't give a shit how mad you get. I don't care. You can disagree. You can agree. Either way, the guy is over fucking rated. You know, he's a little 205 live guy, and let's just leave it at that. I'm not going to go completely in on him like I could. But anyway, Bray Wyatt fucking destroyed his ass for the most part of the match. Of course, Balor had his little magic. You know, he kept bouncing back and around. But eventually, Wyatt was just going to crush his ass. Or Wyatt / the Fiend, whatever you want to call him. You know, now that he's wearing this big fucking creepy-ass mask and this new weird-ass fucking ring attire. It was pretty good. It wasn't bad at all. I'm just glad that the right man won. You know, I'm glad that Balor didn't fucking beat Wyatt again, because I think the last time those two had a feud, Finn Balor was winning. You know, it's back when they were pushing Balor over everyone except for, like, Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins, I think. Those were, like, the only two people that they didn't let him beat, you know. But, yeah, pretty good match, pretty weird segment. You know, it made a lot of sense. I wanted to see how far they're going to go with Bray's new character. How far can this go? Are they eventually going to get even more creepy with it? Will a Sister Abigail segment actually be added into it? I mean, who knows? Who knows how far this is actually going to go? I mean, it'd be interesting to actually see. All right, so moving along here to the final part of the show, which is the main event. This was Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins. I really thought this was going to be a one-way ass beating. Like, pretty much they have Lesnar doing to everybody else, like John Cena and Dean Ambrose and guys like that, and Roman Reigns. They had Lesnar beat Roman Reigns like 4 fucking times, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, at least Seth Rollins looked strong in this match. He actually looked like he was a valid contender. You know, he put up a really good fight. You know, he got to put Lesnar through a fucking commentary table from the top fucking rope, you know, which was awesome, by the way, because that's some shit that, like, Shane McMahon or HBK or Mankind or somebody would have fucking done, like, back in the day. And that was some cool shit. You know, he got to fuck Lesnar up pretty good, you know, and he curb stomped Lesnar about 2 or 3 times, eventually till he won the fucking match and he won his Universal title back. And that was just, you know, that's the end of the show, you know, because I don't know. I don't even know why they're playing hot potato with the Universal title all of a sudden, because, you know, Seth Rollins just lost that belt at, what, Extreme Rules or some shit? And that's when Lesnar cashed in that Money in the Bank and just, you know, ambushed Rollins at the end of the match and then just decided to take the fucking title. And then, like, literally a month later, Seth Rollins is winning it back from Lesnar. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what's the fucking point? Like, what are they getting at? Like, how many times are they going to keep passing the belt back and forth? You know? They're hot-shotting the belt, as some people call it. It's like, what the fuck? What is the purpose? What is the reason behind that? But, you know, I don't care. I mean, Seth Rollins, he's the champion, and we got to accept that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's like, how many times are they going to keep passing his belt back and forth? And Seth Rollins, very good talent, pretty good on the mic, really good in the ring. He's very well-rounded, very talented. He's truly one of my favorites. Brock Lesnar can't fucking stand the guy because he's a fucking piece of shit and doesn't give a flying fuck about the fans or the business and doesn't contribute anything to the business. He's not this fucking draw that so many people swear he is. You know, he's just garbage. He's hot fucking garbage, literally. That's pretty much all I could say about the show. Was the show excellent? No. Some people say it was WWE's greatest work in a while. It had a few moments in there that were pretty decent, but I don't think it was excellent. I don't think it was outstanding. For a Big Four pay-per-view, I'd expect a lot fucking more from SummerSlam. It just wasn't that appealing to me. It was okay. You know, at the most, out of a 5-star rating, I'd give it probably a 3. That would be the highest I could give it. You know, or maybe a 2.75. You know, just for the few things that I liked in it, because I didn't really like a whole lot about it, to be completely honest. You know, I really think it could have been better, like I said, could have been better as a Big Four pay-per-view. You know, because the next Big Four pay-per-view isn't coming until November, and that's going to be Survivor Series. So that's a whole nother, about another 3 months away, a little bit less at this point. So, anyway, that pretty much wraps it up for the show. Been going here for about a good half hour, and that's about where I like to keep it. So I'll see you next time. On next time, I'm going to be doing Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. The, what is it? The 20th and the, well, no. Was it the, I think it was the 20th and the 21st, or the 19th and the 20th. I forget these kind of things. So many things are happening so fast at such a rapid rate. It's hard to remember every single detail of everything. So anyway, like I said, that'll be the next time. Yes, at that point, when I do pump out that show, or those, you know, that show, because now I'm going to start doing Raw and SmackDown in one show, just to simplify things and make it, you know, just make things more simple, get down to the nitty gritty, and we're going to do less talking about the segments and do more talking about the in-ring action, the wrestling, and the shit that matters. You know, it's you know, that's another new element that's, you know, that the show, that I'm adding to the show, you know. Just new shit. We're going to do things a different way. Like I said, no more censorship. No more family-friendly bullshit. You know, it's going to be cussing and everything else. You know, and I'm going to make sure I go through all the platforms and update my my profile to let people know that this is going to be explicit content. This shit is not for kids. You know, it's for, you know, I guess, I don't know. I mean, it's not, like, extremely explicit, but for the kind of language that I use, I'd say it's for older audiences. You know, not like old fucking people. I mean, let me just break that down. Older audiences would be like 17 and up, you know? That's what I mean when I say older people. I don't mean like fucking senior citizens. I don't mean people that's like 85 years old and shit, for those who might get that mistaken. But anyway, I've been talking long enough. I don't want to bore you to fucking death. I will see you in the next episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm going to go in on Raw and SmackDown from literally this week. I mean, you know, the episodes that happened this week, but I'm going to publish the episodes next week. You know, I mean, because I'm just fucking busy. I mean, I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean for this shit to be so late, but I'll make it worth your while, because I'm going to go in. I'm going to tackle the details. We're going to talk about this, discuss it, and just have a blast. Support the show. I'll see you next time. Have a good one, folks.